Hello and welcome to the Discipleship 101 New Believers Class Online Supplemental Teaching. The subject today is the Bible, and it will be taught by Pastor Ray Tejas. Pastor Ray is the lead pastor of My New Friend's House, which is a great church in Whittier, California, and he is excited to share with you today this teaching. We hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
Well, today we're going to be looking at the Bible and how it relates to the Christian life. First of all, let me say that the Bible is not like any other book known to man. Comprised of 66 books, written by 40 different authors, over the span of about 1,500 years, the Bible in and of itself is very unique. As it pertains to the writers, it's interesting because there were fishermen and tax collectors, doctors, shepherds, kings, prophets, all of which many would consider to be very simple and ordinary men. And though those who were involved in the authorship of the Bible and writing it were of diverse backgrounds, yet nevertheless we know that the Bible was of a divine origin. And to tell you what I mean, and I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. And I'm going to begin to read from verse 20. And this is what the Bible says. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time, nor prophecy ever did come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And again, just take note of the fact that they were ordinary men moved by the Holy Spirit. And with that, let me have you turn with me over to 2 Timothy and 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 16. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by divine inspiration. In other words, every word is inspired by God Himself, or you could say God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, and for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 is very unique, for it says that that the man of God may be perfectly and thoroughly furnished unto all good work. You could say that that word there, perfect, means complete or mature. And so as we look at the Word of God and we ask the question, why is the Bible so important to the Christian? It's because of its divine origin. The Holy Spirit authored through the hands of men, the writings which we now hold in our hand, and this is why the Bible itself is so different from any other book, and only the Bible can stake claim to that. The second point I want to make is the Bible as to why it is in so important to the Christian, and that is because it's for spiritual development. And what I mean by that is we all know that naturally, when a child is born and brought into the world, that one of the first things, whenever possible, is done for that child is they take that child and they put it upon the breast of its mother so that it could begin to eat and nourish itself with the mother's breast milk. What's unique about that is you take that reality and you compare it to the fact that the Bible says that we have been born again, or like the Gospel of John chapter 1 begins to tell us that, well, let's read it. If you go with me over to the Gospel of John, first chapter, beginning at verse 12, the Bible says this: For as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the right to become sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. You see, just by virtue of receiving Christ, we have been granted through God's grace the power to become sons and daughters of the Most High. But verse 13 is what I want to point out. It says, which were born not of flesh or of the will of the flesh, but neither by the will of man, but were born by God. You see, it was God's desire for us to be born into his family, and we have been born again through the power and the Holy Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so being born in the family and being as new children, we too need nourishment. We need to also take advantage of what God provides for us in the way of substance. And so as we look at the Bible, to continue to support what I'm referring to here, if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 2, keeping with the same thought, the Bible says, "As new babes desire or long for the sincere milk of the Word of God," in other words, spiritual milk, "which is of no guile, which is pure and righteous and of great substance, that you might grow thereby." And as we grow into discovering this new life and this new salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And so therein lies the concept, the idea, the correlation between just the natural birth and the supernatural birth. And like the natural child needs nourishment, so does the spiritual child that has been born into the family of God. And for us, it's important that we teach young believers, even remind older believers, that the substance and the nourishment that we need still comes from the Word of God. And everything we need is in the Word of God. So as far as the second point here that I'm making is, the Bible is food for the soul, a nourishment whereby we may grow. Thirdly, one of the things I want to say, talk about is the authority of the Bible. You may remember in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4, Jesus is baptized and filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit descends like a dove, and then he's led out into the wilderness to be tempted of the enemy. And what's interesting about this situation is in Matthew 4:4, we read one of the first things that Jesus says when he's tempted by the devil is, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You know, Jesus further went on to state twice, two more times to the enemy, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And then again, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone." You see, it was upon that last statement that the Bible says in verse 11 that the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. You see, there's power in the Word. There's authority in the Word. And when we as believers know the Word and we can speak the Word, the enemy knows that he is subject to that Word. And that's why I believe that the enemy knew that he would not get anything other than the Word out of Jesus. And therefore, he fled. He moved on. And so, you see, the authority, the power of the Word is important to understand and to know. Hebrews 4:12 also says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And so it also is the discerner of thought and intent of heart. And so you see, when we think of these things, we can't help but to be reminded of what Paul had to say in his letter to the Ephesians about the armor of God. You might remember that the Apostle Paul alludes to the fact that the Bible, the Word of God, is the sword of the Spirit. And so why is the Bible so important to the Christian, you might ask? It's because it provides for us divine protection from our enemy. And by virtue of the fact that in and of itself, the Bible is powerful and the Bible has authority, when we speak that word over our situation or against the enemy, he must do what he did when he came in contact with Jesus, and that is, he must flee. The last point I want to make here is that the Bible is filled with great and precious promises. You see, the Bible itself talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 1 And verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding and precious, great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption of the that is in the world through lust. You see, through the precious promises of God, the power of God is released in our life, and the provision of God is made, and we find everything that we need right here in God's Word. So as we move along in our study to prepare to teach on the Bible, as we look at some of the scriptures that were given and we'll be looking at in our handout, one of the first scriptures is taken from Psalms chapter 1. And in verse 2, talking about the individual who is blessed and walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree by streams of waters, which yields fruit in its season, and whose leaves do not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever it is that he sets his hand to, he'll be prosperous. You see, we prosper through the power of God's Word. But at the same time, one should be taught the importance of meditation, contemplation, and consideration of the Scriptures. In other words, we must toil and to grow and to grope and to learn the what things come from God and are available to us from God through His Word. And that precious scripture that says Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As we consider that, especially young believers, they need direction. They need to know where they're going and how they're going to get there. And when we instruct them properly, they'll see the importance of the Word of God lighting and being a light to their feet and to the path that the Lord would have them to walk. And so we're looking at Psalms 119 and verse 30 as well. And it says, the unfolding of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. What I love about this is the Word of God is written to everybody, even to simple-minded people. As teachers and instructors, even pastors, we must remember not to complicate the Word, but to keep it simple so that we don't put it so high on the shelf that others can't receive or gain the insights that are really available to them to support and strengthen their walk with Christ. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can cause them to stumble. You know, this is a powerful scripture because through the Word of God we gain peace, we gain insights and comfort and strength, but also too, along with the Psalms 119, 165, who could forget what David the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord. You see, the Word of God will keep us. The Word of God will protect us. And I won't quote 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 because I used it earlier. But in closing, James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. And to simply state it again in another way, it just simply says, be doers of the word and not just hearers. You know, it's so important that we understand the power of the written Word of God. But let's not forget also that in the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was that was it was in the beginning with Him. When you drop down to about verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, we know that the Bible is God's written Word. But through the Bible, we also know that Jesus is the living Word. Now, when you consider that we have the opportunity to know the written Word and to hide the written Word in our hearts, but by virtue of invitation, we have received the living Word, no wonder the Scripture teaches us that greater is He that is in us than he who is in the world. And so, therefore, we must teach and instruct properly those young believers, remind the older believers how important it is to maintain a daily devotion and a devotional time in the Word, whereby we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I pray that this has been a blessing to you and that you would continue to hunger and thirst for more of God's Word in your daily walk with Him. God bless you.